Hello out there. I want to tell you about a new podcast that has been in the works here at 1159 Media for the past year. 1159 Media, if you don't know, is just, it's our media company. Dark Topic and 911 Calls with the Operator is underneath it. Now we have a new podcast. It's refreshingly hilarious, thoroughly researched, and completely off the wall. That's what I've written down about it. It's true, but I couldn't sell that properly, so here we are. We simply named it True Crime Kent. In a moment, I will play a teaser for the first episode, but if you search True Crime Kent wherever you listen or follow the link in the show notes, you will find a handful of episodes waiting for you now. I'm very proud and excited to show off this podcast that features two of my favorite people in The Operator and Kent Chungus. Kent is a friend, a family man, military man, a hysterical southern gentleman with a mind full of... just it's a jungle in that mind. It's a bayou. We start off easy with a famous case you've never heard of. Actually, you've totally heard of it before, but you've never heard it told this way before. So I like to think of it as a little appetizer, you know, an easy one, a little Vienna sausage for you. Anyways, I will play the teaser now for Bobbitt. Please enjoy and subscribe and rate True Crime Kent. Something we worked very, very hard on. I'm included in it. I think you're about to hear a part where I'm included in it. Thank you so much for all your support. Thank you for listening. And I'll talk to you real soon. We'll be back with another dark topic, hopefully by Halloween. Eyes cocked, doors locked.
Recording has initiated.
3 a.m. in the morning. So it's 3 a.m. And the boys have gotten home. Lorena's upstairs asleep in the apartment, right? You tracking up?
Yeah, she's asleep in the apartment. Not getting raped.
Yeah. Not getting raped yet.
Okay.
But John's getting ready to clock in. According to John, he slides into bed. You know, he tries to be respectful that Lorena's sleeping. She's got to work the next day. He tries to... He takes off his clothes quietly. Robert quietly hits the couch. And he slides in. And the second he hits the bed, she starts nagging about her feelings and shit.
Oh, man.
And, like, the inner turmoil that's, like, going on inside her, all that.
If she spent half of the amount of time that she spent nagging on getting better at nails, they would...
Or not wearing bad sweatshirts, but... So she's nagging about her feelings and all that adult shit that John really hates. And he just drifts off to sleep. He's so tired. He's worn out from not doing anything all day. So, but according to Lorena, this is what happened. So Robert and John, they pretty much bust in to the house like frat boys. And they're like, oh, we're hammered. Aren't you hammered, Robert? And John's like, oh, you want me to fucking jerk you off on the couch, Robert? He didn't say that, actually. I made that up.
That's a pretty good part of the story. I think we'll leave it.
That would be funny.
It's just for body heat.
So Robert and John didn't jerk each other off. I made that up.
All right.
Ironically, John's dick would be in another man's hand by the end of the night, though.
Oh, my goodness.
Actually, at this point, you know, we've been fucking around here a lot, but I've actually got a little piece of dialogue that I recorded back whenever I was doing the research on this story, and it's kind of like covers like the meat and potatoes of this bit, you know, the next bit, the pinnacle of this story, which is the actual cutting. Do you want me to read that?
Yeah.
It's pretty serious.
So you're going to read about the meat, climax, and potatoes of this story.
Yeah, I actually had it right here beside me.
Sweet.
It's what a coincidence.
Yeah, could you use like a cool voice? Can you make like a mysterious... Can you make like a... Use a mysterious voice?
Like a... What do you mean?
Like an announcer voice, or like, you know, Robert Stack, kind of. Make it sound intense. Just try.
I'll try, yeah. Lorena Bobbitt slumped over the edge of the bed.
Hang on. Do you want me to put some cool music behind this part? Like right now while we're on the phone.
Wow.
Just so it's like helps you read it better, maybe.
I'll try. I mean, I if you
yeah,
want.
Let's give it a shot. Let's give it a shot. Make it sound a little more suspenseful for just you and I to listen to.
Okay.
Lorena Bobbitt slumps over the edge of the bed.
I don't feel like that's...
Yeah, no, I don't mean to direct you. Can you give it a little more? Just give it a little more meat in your potatoes.
Why won't you just let me read this? Okay, don't worry about it. I'll give you what you want. You want some acting?
Yeah.
All right, let me clear my throat.
Lorena Bobbitt, slumped over on the edge of the bed, like a discarded condom, ponders her predicament for the final time, then gathers herself, dries her tears, and stands up in the darkness. She slinks out of her bedroom, through the shadows of the living room, past John's ever-present, unconscious, piece-of-shit house guest, and into the kitchen for a glass of water. A glass of water is all, a glass of water before heading back to bed. Back to John. She lightly opens the refrigerator, pries it open, really, like a guilty teenager, then shakily grabs the pitcher and pours herself a glass. She stands in the kitchen, sipping. A thin beam of light peeks out from the fridge. Lorena holds the door open slightly as she drinks, not wanting to wake anyone with too much noise or too much light. The beam illuminates a number of things on the kitchen counter, and she takes mindless inventory of them as she processes what has just happened to her. What continues to happen to her? How long is she going to let this happen to her? The light bounces off of a shiny metallic surface. Lorena's gaze is drawn to an 8-inch carving knife laying on the counter, seeming to beckon, almost grin, at her.